This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Chris Whittingham is on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, soccer broadcaster, longtime friend of ours, soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS Season Pass on Apple TV, joins us on Tuesdays to talk sport. We have some delightful banter about footy and sport and the sort. Inter Miami is home this weekend with the Philadelphia Union. You can catch the game on MLS Season Pass on Apple TV Saturday at 7:30. Witty, I'm going to start here, and Crowder and Solana got the full-on treatment yesterday when it was my first show back from London, but you have had a years-long love affair with the UK, specifically England, and I can now say it has not been unwarranted. I understand it now. I fully understand it. It is a brilliant country with brilliant traditions. There is not enough time in the day to eat all the delicious chippies and toasties and mushy peas and streaky bacon. And you and I must get together soon for a tipple and talk about brilliant London.
Love a tipple.
England, and all she has to offer. God save the king, Witty. I honestly was surprised at how much I loved London. This was kind of a throwaway trip for us. We've traveled to a number of places, my wife and I. And I've never had a burning desire to go to London. And we went because, you know, our friend Jim runs AFC Bournemouth. And so I thought it'd be cool. We'll get to go see a match before they go on break. I had no idea how great that city was. So I salute you for acknowledging that many, many years ago.
and to the annoyance of others. How you doing, mate? You're all right.
Yeah, you had a great time over in England.
Did you?
Hey, in Boca Raton, I'm going to have a little pop of a ginger ale. Nothing like an
absolutely
ale.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah. I mean, what time must have been to have gone to London, watch the football, taking a bit of culture, you know what I mean? The changing of the guard. Absolutely fantastic.
A little bit of
spot of tea, bit of a chippy, you know?
Vitality Stadium. Who's got a better British accent, Crowder, me or Witty?
Witty got you by miles.
Oh, I beg to differ. You're out of line, Governor.
Yeah, no, for me, it kind of started with watching the Premier League, and then you sort of like it grows and grows from just watching soccer to listening to podcasts, and then you're like, wait a second. What's that word that they use for that? And then you just go down all these different rabbit holes. And yeah, for me, I've annoyed people with my love of British culture for probably more than a decade now. And you just can't help it. I've been to London probably 4 or 5 times, and every time I go, it is just the best. And even like a lot of the conversations about the food, you actually like traditional English food, which most people don't. But because of the multicultural nature of the country, you can go and have like some of the best Indian food you've ever had in your life, some of the best Chinese food you've ever had in your life. The breadth of food there for me is amazing.
Yeah, it really is.
I just quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know Hawk. Yeah, I'm gonna let you get into it, Hawk, because y'all two London lovers or whatever it is. Do I have to say Premier or can I say Premier?
Like, well, it's Premier.
It's Premier League.
You got it wrong.
No,
both
it's Premier League.
Premier. No, Premier.
Well, and also, Premier. Like, for example, if a movie, you would say a movie premieres, you would say we're going to a movie premiere. So it is merely the distinction in how the word is said. They will say it a movie premiere or the Premier League, and we will say movie premiere. Look,
everything there they say, like, they go to see the cinema. They don't go to a theater.
Right. Yeah, yeah, they go to the cinema. Yeah,
I mean, it's delightful there.
Why do you
so wrong?
Why do you throw away the theater like it's nasty? Theater is not a bad word. Premiere is not a bad word.
Theater. Throw away the theater.
The theater is like for Broadway shows.
Correct, for a live show.
For Broadway, for live performances, and then the cinema.
Hawk was there 8 days with him. Now he's criticizing me for how I thought.
Americans.
By the way, if we had this conversation nine days ago, he would have been ripping me for saying any of this.
It's a boorish behavior from most of these Americans, and it's appalling, to be quite honest.
It's absolutely appalling.
Imperial. But no, I did. So I went to a Premier League match, Bournemouth and Brentford. Unfortunately, Bournemouth came out on the wrong side. But Crowder, a gift for you from AFC Bournemouth.
Wow, for Crowder. Hey.
So this is a shirt that was designed by Michael B. Jordan. He's one of the co-owners of AFC Bournemouth. He's one of the owners. And so he did his own design. And then I had texted with Solana from the gift shop there. I don't think it's called a gift shop, merchandise. And he wanted a retro. He wanted a throwback jersey. I don't know if you can see that there on the camera. But that is a throwback AFC Bournemouth kit. Is that what they call that, a kit?
Yes, they did.
So up the cherries to all of you. I had a fantastic time. Crowder, you've never been to a Premier League game. And I know Solana, that's on your bucket list, right? That is like, that's because you've been to a bunch of international games, but you've never been to Premier League.
Never been to a Premier League game. And I am dying to go to the Vitality Stadium. So I'm extremely jealous that you were there.
That was a treat, because everything you see on TV, you know, you see these massive stadiums, and Vitality holds 11,000, 12,000.
Yeah, it's probably the smallest ground for a major team anywhere in Europe, honestly. It is absolutely tiny. I'll just be curious, because you have always been a little bit of a soccer skeptic. You like to make fun of me for my love of soccer. What is the difference between seeing it in person versus you've gotten into the Bournemouth thing a little bit, so you watched a few games on TV in the last few years, more than you would have done. What's the difference between seeing it in person as opposed to seeing it on TV?
You know what I found the most startling thing? How physical it was. Because on TV, I didn't grasp just how much they are clawing on each other and pulling on each other and tangling with each other. And I remarked to my wife as we were watching it, I'm like, holy mackerel, like, this is as physical a sport as way more physical than I had imagined. So that's probably what struck me the most. I didn't realize that, because in my head, you know, you hear about flopping all the time, and I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, there's a lot of physicality going on here. Like, guys are on the ground for a reason much of the time.
When you get kicked, you're getting kicked. Like that is not a soft thing. And I 100% agree with you. For me, the thing that stood, I remember the first time I went to a Premier League game, it was at Fulham. This was probably 6 or 7 years ago. And we sat right behind the goal. It was like five rows right behind the goal, which is not honestly the best spot to take in a game, but it is the best spot to see like the speed at which everything happens. Particularly, you see like those balls that go towards like the back, like a cross comes in, someone's trying to go and score it, and they don't stretch and get to it just in time. You're like, oh, come on. That looks so easy. And then you get there in person and you see the speed at which that ball is hit, just flying, zipping across that box. And you're like, wait a second, people are supposed to try and hit that to have it go in the back of the net. The speed for me is what always stands out.
Well, what I'll tell you is it's worth going at some point in your life, Crowder and Solana, and anyone who's a fan of sport, like, it's worth going to a Premier League match just because the pomp and circumstance that takes place from, you know, the moment that people are getting to the stadium to the moment people
to the ground.
It was remarkable.
As Witty talked about behind the net, I don't know if y'all remember when I was in Barcelona. I don't know what team it was, but it's in the middle of the city. And I text you and I was like, hey, I'm about to go watch this soccer game. And you text me back, don't sit behind the net. And I didn't know what that meant. And then they're back there burning crap outside the stadium.
Yeah.
They were burning bonfire. I don't know if that's Premier League or whatever y'all are talking about.
I think you're going to a Champions League game, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was Barcelona. I want to say against Dortmund, maybe.
He went to a Champions League game. Yeah.
Yeah.
A Champions League game. And you told me, do not sit behind the net. And when I was up in my little, you know, my little preppy area, I saw the people over there fighting and slapping each other and burning stuff and passing around flags. So I've been to, I need to go to a Premier League. I went to a Champions League.
Which is might honestly even be even a bigger level. Premier League is one, but Champions League are the best teams in all of Europe. So I mean, you kind of as an entry point, we're pretty high up there, Crowder, in terms of going to see the very best level of football that there is to be offered in the world.
Okay, because they had a bonfire pregame, I was thrown off. I was like, what?
All the flares going off. The flare smell is really intense. Really intense. You're like, you're in it. My favorite thing about going to the football is that little bit of danger. Is that little bit of, things about to kick
funny,
off here?
Like if you go to the Heat game tonight, they blow off those flames during the introductions. The Champions League, it's just in the stands with you. And there's no regulated person who's firing it off.
I think it's a little different, Hawk.
I'm pretty sure that they're just firing those things
off. Someone lighting a flare is a little bit different than
firecrackers around.
No, it's a little different.
Go to a South American game and you're just watching the game in a bonfire. Like your seat is actually in a bonfire.
The worst of that is probably in Turkey for what they call the Istanbul derbies. I think they're called the Eternal Derbies. The teams within Istanbul and Turkey are absolutely ravenous in terms of support. You will literally see an entire section of the stadium engulfed in flames. It looks like it's on fire.
Oh, we got to go to that as a show. You know, wait till Jimmy gets back, though. For those of you who are Bournemouth fans, if you want to adopt Bournemouth and become a Bournemouth supporter like us, they're touring the U.S. this summer, right? There's three matches.
Yeah, they're going to play three matches in different stadiums around the United States. I think they're touring.
I know one
it's part of that like summer series that they're doing, right?
There's four Premier League teams, right, that are going to tour the U.S.? Yeah. I should have more info on it. But I know Bournemouth is coming to
they're
the
playing,
U.S. this summer.
They're playing Everton, Manchester United, and I think West Ham, maybe? Does that sound right?
Yes, I have it right here. Yeah.
That's cool.
Atlanta, New Jersey, and Chicago, it seems like.
Yeah, and I don't know if you get the full Premier League effect if you watch it in the States, but I'm imagining these games, these matches are going to be sold out, right? I mean, there's going to be hefty interest in this in the U.S., no?
Yeah, I mean, the summer friendlies always do incredibly well because realistically it is kind of your only chance to go and see your team. They come a lot. I remember last year, Manchester United, they've started to mix it up a little bit. They would always go to the same New York, L.A., Miami, Atlanta, all the big cities. But last year, I think Man United played a game at the University of South Carolina Stadium. And they sold it out. It was like 95,000 people. What was it, like Williams Bryce or Jordan Bryce? They're like they completely filled it. So they try and do some interesting things to mix it up. But yeah, I mean, particularly when Man United is involved and these big clubs are involved, it's not the same because I think a lot of Americans are aware of sort of British fan traditions, but it is so different, right? They're almost like that different level of participation. I think American fans, when they go to sporting events, they sort of expect to be entertained, whereas I think British and European fans and South American fans realize that they're part of the entertainment. And so if there is to be an atmosphere at the game, I have to stand up and sing. I have to stand up and chant when everyone else is chanting. And I think that that culture is just that little bit different. So I mean, for a Premier League game, it is completely different.
You want to know what jumped out at me being at a Premier League game? There was no everybody clap your hands.
No,
now,
there was none of, there's none of it.
That. I need to know, right? I need to know. They seem to all know when to clap their hands and when to chant. I prefer, you know, someone to let me know, hey, everybody clap your hands. And then I'm able to clap my hands. I like when they let you know when it's time to clap your hands.
You're waiting for a Let's Go Terry's chant from their Uptown Dale?
Yes. When is the Tyler Adams song? Does anyone have a some sort of song? Like, is there a song sheet? I don't know. It was a little...
Well, I mean, people just start singing. The funniest thing is when songs develop and everyone just kind of gets it. Like, there is this telepathy that happens where everyone just sort of okay, we're all singing the words of this song. And everyone's kind of doing that same thing. It's absolutely amazing. But yeah, there are no cues. There's very little halftime, pregame, postgame entertainment. It's just, here's the game. Here's some songs before, here's
very
some songs
little,
after,
like,
and that's it.
None.
There's very little presentation.
To American sport, like,
it's nothing.
There's nothing. Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah. I didn't. There was
some 12-year-olds have come play a little seven-a-side game at halftime, or they'll take a penalty shootout against the mascot, and that's about it.
Who's the lady that juggles the cups on her head?
Red Panda.
Game? They don't wheel her out at no. halftime here. Just no. to go get a meat pie and get back in your seat because they're not adding a single minute.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
That halftime.
It's also the brilliance of it, right? Because it's like there's 45 minutes of football, then there's a 13-minute break, and there's 45 minutes of football, and then we're done. There's none of this whole commercial breaks. There's no halftime t-shirt cannon. No, it's just here's the game. That's it.
I told you. I think I told you yesterday. So Jim, our friend, had the brilliant idea to sit me next to the chairwoman of the Premier League in the director's box, and I said to her, "I'd like to make a suggestion. How about add a minute or two to halftime? Because we're really rushing through these meat pies. Because we went inside and she was with me at my table, and they bring out the meat pies and some hot drinks and some cheese. And I said to her, how about we add a few minutes to this? Because it seems like we're rushing to get right back out there. Absolutely not. And I said, okay, well, we'll revisit that after the game, because maybe you'll have a different thought.
Next thing you know, you'd be asking for quarter breaks instead of halftime breaks, and you've completely. This is why Americans are not welcome into football, because we come with our ideas of how we're going to fix everything.
Very different. We're out of time with Whittingham, but we should ask what's wrong with the U.S. men's national team.
They've regressed, and it's kind of odd because at the World Cup in 2022, there weren't a ton of expectations because it was a young team. a lot of guys that were kind of 24 and younger, and there was this thought that they're all playing in Europe. They're all going to kick on and have great careers from there and be a team that was going to continue to grow. But instead, they've gone the other way. They went out of Copa America last summer to Panama in the group stage. They didn't even have a chance to go. Because really, the big thing for American fans is, well, can we go and beat the big teams? If we play against Brazil or Argentina or France or Spain or whoever – if the World Cup is on home soil, maybe there's a chance you can go and beat them. But instead, you're losing to the teams that used to kind of take for granted. The US used to beat Panama easily. And instead, they lost to them last summer in the Copa America, and then they just played the CONCACAF Nations League. They lost both in the semifinal to Panama again, and then in the third place match on Sunday against Canada. And there's just thinking, how has it gone from there's this golden generation of talented players that are playing in Europe at a level that is above what previous generations of players have done, and yet they're not performing as well for the national team. And now all of a sudden, I think a lot of the older generation of players are rightly so saying, hey, we were pretty good in our own right. In 2002, when the U.S. went to the quarterfinal of the World Cup, they're a pretty good team, and that team should be respected. The 94 team that played the first home World Cup that got to the round of 16 should be respected. The 2010 team that I thought was very good that got to the last 16 of the World Cup. And now I think all of a sudden you're kind of comparing yourself to older generations rather than to how are we getting better? How are we kicking on? Because that's not happening right now.
I think it's something that a lot of teams around the world are facing a similar issue in the U.S. now are just because their players are playing in Europe expect to be better. There's something to be said about an actual team in the World Cup or in these major tournaments clicking together. I don't know, like is Pochettino on the hot seat now or is it still too early?
I think it's one of those things where because of the manager's status, that he was managing Chelsea before he managed the United States, he was managing PSG and Tottenham and Southampton and Espanyol. These are big European clubs. He can go and have probably one of those jobs this summer. Anytime one of those jobs comes available, there already is conversation go and leave that. I think in some ways, not to kind of talk down the role of U.S. manager, but he's doing the U.S. a favor, honestly. Like he should be managing at the very highest levels of the club game. This is a top-level coach. So I think the U.S. should be inclined to listen to him rather than to say, well, maybe what you're doing is wrong. So I think you have to go through the development process with him as the coach and hope that in 14 months' time, when the U.S. are hosting their first game of the World Cup in L.A. against whomever it might be, that he has kicked the team on and gotten them to a better place. But there are a lot of things to be solved in the interim.
Sack him.
Sacked in the morning. Sing it with me. You're getting sacked in the morning. You're getting sacked in the morning.
I don't know about that.
Chris Whittingham, soccer broadcaster for CBS and MLS season pass on Apple TV. Inter Miami is home this weekend. Philadelphia Union, you can watch the game on MLS season pass on Apple TV starting at 7:30 p.m. Saturday. Thank you, Witty.
No problem.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Omisid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Omisid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at omised.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.